Hey Shane, you're up to scribe, but I know that you're near death. Would you be okay with scribing? If not, we can have someone else scribe.
I can scribe as long as you don't expect me to talk.
Okay. Thanks, Shane. Hey, who just joined? Stephen David. David Zell. Hey, David. Area code, who's that?
Dave Crocker, hi there.
Hey, Dave. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Our agenda is here. Today on the agenda is the Verified Claims Working Group proposal, results of the terminology poll. We'll talk a bit about the data model spec and the use cases, and then a little bit of discussion on next steps. Hopefully this will be a fairly quick call. Is there anything else that we should add to the agenda? Anything else that we should discuss?
Joe, is Joe on the call?
I don't think he's on the call yet.
Okay. He did a first draft of how to approach the use cases a little bit differently for those people who are interested in kind of taking the use case stuff further.
Yes. So that's the fourth agenda item, use cases. So we'll talk about that when we get around to it on the agenda. Okay, if there are no other changes, let's go ahead and get started. Thank you everyone very much for pitching in and helping to make sure that this proposal got together in time. We handed it over to the Web Payments Interest Group yesterday for review. We're hoping that Web Payments IG members are reading that now and will come to the Web Payments IG face-to-face meeting July 1st. Prepped and ready to talk about verifiable claims. Just so everyone has the link, that's the link there to the complete proposal. All documents are more or less ready, meaning that they're definitely review ready, but we still might want to make some refinements over the next couple of weeks. I know Carla Casilli made a number of edits to the primer that we're going to try and integrate over the next little bit. I know that we have some new supporters, new implementer commitments that we need to add. Data model and use cases are still being kind of edited. Christopher Allen just raised the point that Joe Andrew has provided a different approach to the use cases that we are taking seriously and want to kind of figure out how to best integrate it without causing too much negative impact on the review of the draft charter and the documents that we have. But all in all, you know, I think this is it's good. It's a good solid set of reading. Everything is fairly consistent in terminology and what we're proposing. So that's great. It's the first time we've really had, this much content backed with the amount of data that we have demonstrating that this is something that folks want to do. And if it's done, it's something that large organizations are willing to implement. Let me pause for half a second because we've got a number of other people that have joined the call. Let's get them associated. So 212 area code 558-3175. Who's that?
It's Rebecca.
Hi, and Rebecca. And then I think we have everyone else. Okay, any questions or concerns on the Verifiable Claims Working Group proposal?
This is Dave. If it's not out of scope or out of the agenda, can you briefly describe what the sequence after this will be, not just through what you hope will be an approval process, but what comes after?
Sure, absolutely. What we are doing, the reason we put all these documents together was to create a solid proposal to create a new working group at W3C. Working group is an official group at W3C, and once they get started, their mission mandate is effectively to create a technical specification that is then ratified by the membership. So we're at the proposal now. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to put it in front of the Web Payments Interest Group. That is an official group at W3C to see if they want to back the proposal and suggest that the W3C management put it up for a vote at W3C. If we get backing
from
the Web
Payments Interest Group. When is that?
July 1st.
When is
so,
that will be?
Sorry, I missed that. Was that Christopher?
When will that vote be?
It would be at the face-to-face meeting, which is right after the blockchain workshop at MIT. So this is happening the day after the blockchain workshop at MIT. That's when the face-to-face meeting is. We don't know if there's going to be enough people there to kind of carry the entire group. So the Web Payments Interest Group is around 170 people. But they're only going to be maybe 15 to at most 18 people in the room at the face-to-face meeting, which means that, you know, if that group decides, if in the room we decide, yes, we want to suggest this to go forward, we're still going to have to announce on the mailing list, yes, we're taking this forward, are there any objections? And then silence is basically consent. And at that point, there's really one last hurdle that we have to get over, and that's convincing W3C management that this is something that they should take and put in front of the membership. That's going to be a part of the conversation that we have at the Web Payments Interest Group meeting on July 1st. We're going to have W3C management in the room, and they're going to, you know, ask us a variety of questions and try to figure out if we've done our due diligence or not. Dave Crocker, just to review, you know, proposal goes in front of the Web Payments IG. The IG decides to put it forward, suggests that it's put forward to a vote. At the same time, W3C management decides whether or not we have enough there to take it forward to a W3C membership vote. If they agree to take it forward, it would go up for vote potentially maybe towards the end of July, early August. The voting period is a month, so during the month of August would be voting. And at the end of August, there's a whole bunch of back and forth between members wanting things added to or removed from the charter, and there's a big negotiation between W3C management and various parties on what actually goes in the final charter. At the end of August, we would have hopefully a successfully passed charter with modifications, which means that the Verifiable Claims Working Group would start sometime in September. September is the W3C technical plenary. So I think around the 19th of September is the W3C technical plenary. And that is our first opportunity to meet face-to-face as an official working group if this stuff works out. If that happens, you know, we have to have, for example, an agenda, a two-day agenda set out on what we're going to do with verifiable claims and, you know, bring people up to speed and, you know, how the working group's going to vote and how they're going to work and all that kind of stuff. To recap, because I know there's a lot going on here, first up is the Verifiable Claims Working Group proposal at the IG meeting. That's July 1st. At the same time, we're going to try and convince W3C management to take this to a vote at W3C. If that is successful, the vote will probably start around the end of July and go for the entire month of August. If that vote is successful, we will have a web verifiable claims working group created, and then in late September, we would hopefully meet at a W3C TPAC in Lisbon, Portugal. Okay. Any questions, concerns, thoughts on that? Shane, you're on the queue.
Just to point out that TPAC fills up quickly. If you think you're going to get a face-to-face there, you should probably get somebody to allocate space right now.
Yep. So, David, Ezel, this may be a question for you. You know, as a community group, we can't really ask for that space. I feel like people have been reluctant to presume that this work is going to go to a successful vote or be successfully ratified. Do we have any thoughts on asking for space or letting people kind of give people a heads up that we might want some space at TPAC?
Well, I'm not sure that between now and our face-to-face it would make a really big difference. I'm sure that W3N would say we're being premature, partly because space is at such a premium. I think it's a fair question. Certainly by the time we're in at MIT on July 1st, depending on how, you know, the conversation goes with W3M, I think it's a fair question then. I'm not sure how much attention we could actually get between now and then, though.
So here's another suggestion. We could plan to meet anyway at W3C TPAC. So this year they're doing something new, which is allowing community groups to have space and time at TPAC. So anyone that's in a community group is welcome to attend TPAC and have a meeting there as long as you sign up, I think. So we could plan to have a face-to-face meeting as a CEG if everything else falls through at W3C TPAC and see how many people would be interested in coming, and people could kind of book their travel and accommodations accordingly. And then if a working group is formed, then, you know, people would just shift from having a community group meeting to having an actual working group meeting. Thoughts from the group on doing something like that?
That's clever.
I actually think you should go ahead and probably get a time for the community group. That is something proactive to do.
Okay.
For the IG, a fair part of our day, one of our 2 days, has already been carved out by Interledger. So we need to out a plan.
Yeah, that's the other thing, I guess, David, I want to talk about. There are people that are going to be split between verifiable claims, the IG, and the web payments meeting to the point that we're going to be missing something. So, you know, having to pick between verifiable claims, IG, and web payments, WG, personally, I have to skip out on the IG meeting to be at the verifiable claims ones and the working group web payments working group meeting. So some other people may be pulled in that way. So for example, Shane might be in the same kind of position. So we should figure out how that's going to happen, and not just at this TPAC, but kind of going forward. How we're going to, you know, juggle the IG, WG meetings as the IG spins off new groups.
It's a classic problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that it's getting worse and worse. It would be a good bad situation, or a good situation.
Right. Okay, anything else on kind of the proposal and schedule? Okay, if not, we're going to
Actually, I do have one thing, Manu. I'm sorry, that's a shame. Could you, I know you just did this whole thing orally, and I didn't capture it super well. It might be valuable to just put the timeline out for the CG to see, you know, out somewhere on the web. I think it would be useful.
That is a very good idea. We should have a kind of a roadmap, next 9 months roadmap. I will try to do that action, Manu, to put together a 9-month schedule roadmap and publish to CGIG. Okay, Christopher, you're up.
Yeah, I heard maybe a little bit more from Dave Crocker's question than just that schedule. So, for instance, you know, I'd be interested in knowing, you know, if there's some people that either late summer or early fall are beginning to commit development resources and such, and who's doing what, and how we might be able to cooperate. I know in my particular case, I'm really hoping to, you know, replicate what, you know, at least what PDP does as far as claims and some other different types of things. So some simple peer-to-peer software for verified claims. So, you know, I mean, I guess I'm saying, can we put on the agenda somewhere, a time frame or whatever, you know, some openings for discussions about actually coding this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me share the current implementer commitments. So that there's a URL in IRC. These are the organizations that have said that they're going to implement and in what way. The question was posed a bit differently to these organizations. It was, if the work is successful, do you plan on implementing it? And if so, how and how many people does your organization reach? That said, I know that we have a number of software implementers that have been implementing this stuff over the past couple of years. So, Digital Bazaar is definitely one of the organizations that's going to be doing implementations for this stuff. I know a number of other of you are doing it, but I'm not going to call you out. If you want to say that you're doing an implementation in the next 3 months or so, please speak up. All right. Christopher, that list, the implementer summary there is a good list to kind of look at with respect to, you know, who's planning on implementing.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Any other questions, concerns on the proposal, timeline, roadmap? Okay. Next up are the we had a terminology poll. The results are here. There has been, so we basically picked Inspector for what used to be called a consumer. That raised another question in the detailed architecture, meaning, you know, what is the thing that actually verifies the credential versus just receives the credential? I think we named it, the thing that receives the credential is the inspector, and the thing that verifies the credential is the verifier, but that's new terminology that we probably need to discuss a bit. We also made this strange decision, identity profile and entity credential. There have been a number of people on the mailing list that said we should be consistent between the two, so it should be either identity profile and identity credential, or it should be entity profile or entity credential and entity credential. There have been a couple of arguments that, you know, this split is okay between the two. But I'm just kind of raising that as that's kind of our next terminology discussion. But we don't really need to have that anytime soon. The proposals stand together fairly well without us making any new decisions on that terminology. Does anyone want to say anything about the terminology poll results, things, feelings about it, directions that you wish it would have taken? Seeing a number of plus ones for being consistent with the terminology, which basically means
This is Drummond. It is worth speaking up on that conflict between identity profile and entity credential. We gotta fix that.
Okay. Yep. So basically, the groups needs to decide if we're talking about entities or if we're thinking of talking about identities. That's going to be the next vote.
I vote for identity.
Okay. So we can open up a poll at some point in the near future. And so there are a number of people typing out in IRC, but it's good. I mean, it looks like folks are, you know, we're zeroing in on a set of terminology that the community seems to be okay with. Clearly, you know, everyone doesn't get everything that they want, but we're hearing less vehement disagreement with the terminology that we're picking these days, and understanding that this has been going on for 2 years and is probably going to be going on for longer than that, and it's arguable that this has been actually going on for 15 years. We're just going to have to pick a set of terminology and kind of go with it. Okay, we're seeing a lot of plus ones for identity over entity in IRC. So we'll do another poll, mainly because we had 31 people respond to it, which is a pretty great turnout. And so that's, you know, it's good to have a fairly large sample set of people providing input from the community. Okay. Anything else on terminology? We'll jump into the spec next. All right, data model spec is up next. Dan Burnett, would you like to give us a rundown of where things are?
Yes, so I did some, as I call it, fairly major editorial surgery, largely because the specific terms that we used really affected this document quite significantly because of the use of WebIDL and some other things. So I have to be very careful about not overlapping terms. It causes problems with references and whatnot in the document. But the document, I believe, hangs together way better than it did, even a week or so ago. So let's see. There are two editorial things that still need to be fixed. One Shane and I are working on right now, and that is in the terminology section, we automatically load definitions of terms from a common glossary, and it's mistakenly automatically loading terms for credential and identity, which I very specifically did not want loaded, right? Because now that we have entity credential and identity profile, so when you read through it, just ignore those. We're working to make sure that those don't show up in the terminology section. The other thing is, I think there's still a reference that I have left to update to the use cases document. But otherwise, the document is essentially complete. I only, at this point, really have one major question for the group. Something that's been concerning me, when we first put this together, I included not just verifiable claims, which are part of what we are now calling an entity credential, but I also included the identity profile just so that it was possible to see the connection in the ID for the subject in a claim with the ID in an identity profile, so that specific identifier field. I think that's helpful for understanding the overall context, although we do now have architecture documents that explain much of this. The concern I have is that if someone gets to the point where they're looking at this document, they may look at it and think, wait a second, you talk about verifiable claims being the only thing you're standardizing, but here you actually show some kind of proposal for an identity profile as well. So the question is that something that we should remove from this document? the identity profile model and expressions, or should it move to an appendix, should it stay the way it is? I mean, there's a strong argument right now for not changing a thing right at this moment. But that is something that I think is worth considering, specifically for those of you who had the conversations with others at W3C about identity and feel that you've gotten burned every time you mention the word identity. I'd love to hear your opinions on whether there is something that would be good to do with this document to reduce the visibility of identity in it.
So put yourself on the queue if you've got any thoughts for Dan. Go ahead, Shane.
I personally, I'm inclined to leave identity profile in the document. I think it makes sense to have it there because without it, it's really not clear how the stuff maps together. If there's concern about exposing that concept, it's probably okay to add some sort of notation just to indicate that it's there for context and it's not that we're planning on doing anything about it right now. I mean, I'm cool with that, but I wouldn't want to lose the example.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just to echo what Shane said, you know, it is a part of the bigger vision and bigger picture. I think, you know, being buried in a spec is buried deep enough. I think that the primary thing that we're wanting to do is not distract people that are voting on the verifiable claims work by talking about identity and things like that. But all of us know that if we're successful with the verifiable claims work, one of the things that might fall out of it is this, you know, identity stuff, whatever that is, right? So you should be able to express an identity profile using verifiable claims. And demonstrating how you do that in the verifiable claims spec, I think, is a perfectly fine thing to do, primarily because I don't think a lot of the W3CAC reps are actually going to read this, you know, read the spec in detail. Or if they read it, they're reading it understanding that this is kind of a proposal that's going into the working group, and the working group can hammer out the details. So I think we have an easy out for the identity profile stuff. If people object to it, we can say, well, you know, it's up to the working group to figure out what's actually in the spec. We're just proposing something. It might be removed. And if you want it removed, you know, or if you want to keep, you want it kept in there, join the working group, right? Vote for it and join the working group, and we'll talk about it more there.
Okay, I'm fine with that. That is why I originally put it in. Just wanted to check quickly with the group and make sure that there wasn't a closet groundswell to yank it out of there.
Okay, and I'm seeing a lot of plus ones for keeping it in there.
And actually, it does say up at the front of the document, right, that the part we would be working to standardize in a working group would be verifiable claims, right? So if you read the whole thing, you'll see that.
All right.
So. Okay, thanks.
One other comment, Dan. We do, in the abstract of the document, we kind of lead by saying an identity profile is a collection of attributes, da-da-da-da-da, and we probably shouldn't do that. This is feeding off of something Dave Crocker, a good point that Dave Crocker made, with the architecture document, in that we used to lead that document with, you know, a self-sovereign blah, blah, blah is, and that it kind of preloads something controversial at the very beginning of the document. So we may want to use some of the language that's in the architecture document in the abstract here in the verifiable claims document as a kind of an easy introduction into what verifiable claims are without, you know, dumping the word identity in there.
That's a good point. This abstract originally came from, you know, older documents that we had, and then I just changed the terminology.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should probably. I can do that. I'll adjust the abstract to better align with what we see in the architecture document.
Okay. Okay. And then Nate felt that change would be good as well. Any other comments or concerns about the data model and representation spec? Dan, what are the next steps for this document? What are you going to focus on doing?
I was listening to your schedule, and it's not actually clear to me exactly what you need changed when. I'm actually hesitant to change anything other than some of the fairly minor editorial stuff we've just talked about.
That's fine.
You know, without knowing where we're going next.
Yep. I think that's a good plan. Okay. It would be good for folks in the group to review the doc again now that it's been updated a bit, just to make sure that you understand kind of what we're proposing as the spec going in there. All right, next up is use cases. Here is a link to the use cases document. Shane has unfortunately been very sick over the past couple of days. So Shane, if you could please give us an update.
Sure. My head is stapled together, and my fever's below 100, so we're good.
Yay.
I really should post pictures of the table I impacted with my head. It was truly impressive. With regard to use cases, the use cases document is actually in a little bit of flux right now, it's entirely my fault, but I misunderstood what Joe was trying to accomplish when he sent in his initial concepts. And frankly, I like my misunderstanding, but Joe didn't, and that's okay. So the document as it stands right now is incredibly user needs oriented. I turned the whole thing 90 degrees and just changed it to let's talk about user needs and how they're expressed, and that's the document that's at the end of that URI. Joe got back to me on Thursday or Friday and was like, well, you know, we're losing some things if we do it this way. Let me take a spin at it. And he sent me some stuff Sunday night that I have not comprehended at all. So in terms of what I'm planning to do, I'm going to go through what he's done. I'm going to see if there's a relatively painless way to add a couple additional concepts to this without turning everything on its head because we've already submitted it. And then I just want to leave it alone, unless you think I'm wrong about this, Manu. But I think we sort of submitted it to the IG, and I don't want it changing underneath them, especially if they start from use cases, which is what I would do as a reader.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't change it too drastically. We should certainly look at what the input Joe has provided, because you know the previous rev that he did was really good. It added a number of things that I feel were kind of missing from the document. We should keep in mind that I feel bad saying this, but once working groups start, they tend to completely forget about the use cases. So, you know, I think we have two opportunities here to modify the use cases document. One of them is, we can modify the use cases document after the web payments, after the W3C member vote, meaning that you know what they're voting on is the charter. They're not voting on the use cases. Use cases can change throughout time, and it's up to the working group to kind of figure out what document they want to pull in. So we have the opportunity to work on another revision before September. Before we hand this stuff over, because right now these are kind of community group documents, and there is a process where the community group finalizes their documents and then hands it over to a working group. There's a bunch of intellectual property stuff that, there's a process that we go through for intellectual property purposes. So we have that opportunity, and so we can basically modify the use cases document or have a different use cases document created between now and September. And then after September starts, this is this kind of we're going to be doing work on use cases. This is going to be a continuous thing. So after September, we can update the use cases document as well. So I don't think that there's a, you know, any time where the use cases stop being updated, as Joe pointed out. And I think there's an opportunity between now and September to get Joe's stuff integrated and see if the group likes that or not. Shane, you're on the queue. And maybe muted. Maybe unconscious, Shane.
I'm muted. Hi. Nate, thanks for noticing that it still talks about consumer. And this is how I know I'm an idiot. So do you remember the other day, Manu, when I said, wow, are we supposed to be updating GH pages instead of master?
Yes.
So the changes I made are not on the branch that's public, which is probably good because, like I said, Joe didn't agree with them. All right. So as soon as we hang up here, I'm going to go and try to merge in anything I think is happy and update it. So when Manu said people should review this document again, I'll send an email when I think anybody should review this document again, because this isn't the document to review.
Awesome. Thank you, Shane.
No, it's pathetic, but, you know.
I
was heavily medicated.
You have a very good excuse.
So, Nate, Shane, if you touch the data model doc, be sure to do it in a separate branch. Don't go messing with mine.
Definitely. I'm definitely in a separate. I'm definitely in a separate branch, in a separate repo. Actually, we're going 3 degrees of separation here.
Nate, you're mentioning that you feel bad because your name's on the document, but if you remember, you actually worked pretty heavily on the initial use cases document. That's why you're down as an author. But if you feel guilty about it, I don't think anyone's going to stop you from trying to put in some time on the use cases document. So maybe
I've got a 9-hour plane flight on Saturday, if so there's any sort of offline time I could put into it.
I think so. So, you know, if you could review what Joe did and bring in another perspective other than just Shane and Joe talking about this stuff, I think that would be super helpful.
Nate,
so,
let me. I have a private email from Joe here that with a huge thing that came in on Sunday. Let me forward it to you.
Sounds good. I'll take that off again.
Okay, thank you, Nate. All right, anything else on use cases? All right, so this is the this is where we kind of figure out what our next steps are. So again, thank you everyone for pitching in and making sure this proposal got together in time. I think we've done a really good job. And quite honestly, I think this is one of the best proposals I've seen as far as, like, you know, this is what we want to do. Here's a spec. Here's tons of survey data backing up. Here's expert interviews backing it up. I haven't really seen something put together like this at W3C. Maybe I haven't been involved in those groups, but we have been we have gone above and beyond as far as I can tell. So hopefully this will be a very convincing thing to the management, W3C management, and the AC representatives. So that said, what are the next steps? What does this group want to do? If we want to plan for success, we should be planning a face-to-face agenda, probably a two-day agenda in case we get a working group, because everyone's kind of going to be rushed to put something together. My hope is that we can rely heavily on the web payments working group first face-to-face meeting schedule. A lot of the first face-to-face is just getting everyone up to speed. So for the people that have been on these calls, it's just going to be a lot of repetitive stuff that we've already discussed. But the reason we do that is when the new working group starts, you'll get 60% of the people in the room will be completely new to the work. They will have no background. So we have to bring those folks up to speed. So that's what the face-to-face agenda is about. Refining the specification and the use cases, I think we talked a bit about that today. So that's another thing that we can continue to work on. Christopher Allen brought up the point where we might want to start doing some preliminary implementations outside of the implementations that we already have right now. And then, the final thing is, what else? There are a number of other things that have come up in the last couple of months. For example, ID 2020, refugee use cases. We've got the rebooting Web of Trust stuff. We've got, you know, RESPEC network and the decentralized identifier stuff that they're working on. That is, you know, a part of, you know, the success story, we hope, over the next 5 years, right? We want all this stuff kind of put into place. And in order to put that stuff into place, we have to do the work on it. So there's work on, you know, Web DHT or ledgers or decentralized identifiers, the identity registry. And we really haven't started hashing that stuff out in a more complete way. So this is just a general question to the group. You know, what do people think we should be doing next? Where do you think the focus should be? This is a community effort, so, you know, please, folks, speak up, because the people that speak up are the ones that are going to determine, you know, where we head next. Shane, you're up.
You said group. The group that's meeting right now is supposedly the Verifiable Claims Task Force, which presumably end of life as soon as we hand off to the IG. So do you mean the credentials community group, or do you mean something else?
Thank you, Shane. That was completely vague. I mean, there are a group of people that have been kind of flowing from, you know, community group to task force to working group. So I think what I specifically mean is a credentials community group, because that's kind of where we're staging all of this work. Shane, you're absolutely right. The Verifiable Claims Working Group, the Verifiable Claims Task Force is probably going to die in the next month, which is probably a good thing, right? I mean, if the vote is successful, or if the management says, okay, we'll take it over, or the Web Payments IG says, okay, we'll take it over from here, yes, it will evolve, not die. Sorry, Carla. We will evolve into something else. But that means that there's still a community group, the credentials community group, that's sitting around that can stage work for the next working group or the next thing that we want to do. So, Shane, I'm unfortunately going to continue to be vague and say, you know, what do the group of people on this call want to do? Because the people on this call are all kind of a part of the Credential CG. You are part of the Verifiable Claims Task Force. Some of you are going to be become part of the Verifiable Claims Working Group if it's successful. Seeing the ecosystem, the architecture that we're trying to create, where do you want to take this stuff next? Christopher, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so a few different things. I think we should make a concerted effort to make sure that the MIT group that did the verified claims badges thing, they're even calling them verified claims, but they're not our form. They are talking about doing a 2.0 for their badges, and we're going to be in their neighborhood next week, so we should really try to get them as guests into our meeting next Friday, a week from Friday. That's one.
Which group, Chris, hold on, wait. Which badging group are you talking about at MIT? The edX folks, or
the people that did
the blockchain
badges thing?
MIT Media Lab plus Learning Machine.
Yeah. So they're, you know, we're going to be at the MIT Media Lab, and their thing is very close to what we're doing, and they want to do a 2.0, and they also want to do, what do you call them? They want to do the chain point receipts, too. So that might be another, you know, I don't know where that fits in, but the chain point stuff is something I would like to see move forward. That's my second item. And the third item is, you know, I think I'd like to try to get some, you know, some general peer-to-peer things going as swiftly as possible, especially those things that are relevant to developers. So, for instance, I'd like to be able to, you know, make a verified claim about not only, another security reviewer I'd like to be able to make a verified claim about a security review of a entity which it happens to be a source code repository. And the reason why I want to really do those soon is that that lets developers play around with stuff with what they care about now and what they can do now and what they have control over right now, and then we can shake out the little details and little implementation things that cause problems before we try to do broader deployments into thousands or tens of thousands of students or the various other kinds of early cases. So that's my kind of list.
Great.
Of the next 6 months.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Christopher. Before we move on, so Nate knows the folks at MIT Media Lab and Learning Machine. David Ezell is the chair for the Web Payments IG meeting, where we're going to be having the verifiable claim stuff. David, I hate to put you on the spot, but do we have enough space still, or are we completely full at the face-to-face meeting? Oh, David, I had to run. Okay, I'll try and follow up with them. So, Nate, I will try to CC you and David and I and Jacobs on an email and see if we can get the MIT Media Lab Learning Machine folks in. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Carla, you're up next.
Hey, so in relation to the idea of blockchain and badges, that is something that an organization that I'm working with called BadgeChain is looking at. So it would be interesting, and I see it as a kind of next step, and we've always kind of seen it, although we've been operating a little bit under the radar, we kind of see ourselves as directly related to the Verified Claims Task Force, because I think we're all aiming, at least from a learning recognition perspective, to move into the credentialing environment in a way that possibly could be involved in blockchain. So I know some of the conversations we've had a little earlier have been based around the blockchain, and so I'm loosely voting for that direction.
Awesome. Thank you, Carla. I'm trying to find a link to BadgeChain. Is it is it on Medium? Is that the best place? Is that the best link?
Yeah, Medium is probably the best place. Our website is, we're still getting that up, is looking at the intersection of open badges, so learning recognition and blockchain. We haven't firmly decided that blockchain is the best solution, and just watching the stuff that has been taking place in that environment has been a little terrifying over the last few days. But we also have a great amount of interest in possibly kind of taking apart what the value of the of blockchain offers us, and we are not necessarily interested in fintech exactly. So still trying to figure out exactly how and where blockchain might be useful for learning recognition and all of the associated issues come along with it whenever you move to new technology.
Yeah. Just to be clear, this particular group, although they make a big deal about being on the blockchain, all they're doing is proof of existence. So they're basically putting a hash of the badges on a blockchain. And so there's been an effort to be able to add that to new thing that you can add to as a signature, proof of existence. So I want to be clear that to say that you're on the blockchain like they're doing doesn't require a whole lot. It can be just a proof of existence.
Right. Okay, thank you, Carla. We will definitely. So Nate said that Terry from the BadgeChain group will be at the blockchain workshop at MIT in the next week, so we look forward to seeing her there. Should also point out, yes, and what Christopher said is also, good. There are these digital signatures that we're kind of working on with a number of companies to get proof of existence, proof of publication into various chains, so Ethereum, Bitcoin, even, you know, places like IPFS, basically being able to submit that something was published on a particular date and time. I should also note the work that we're doing with Department of Homeland Security called Flex Ledger, and this is a ledger that is actually designed to publish verifiable claims too. You can publish verifiable claims directly into the ledger. So these aren't hashes that you're storing. They're the actual claims themselves. Clearly not PII claims, but it's a more flexible way of publishing people's, you know, what they've learned, what they've accomplished, whether or not they're licensed to do something, things of that nature. So that works ongoing as well. And there's also the DID stuff. Chris, Drummond, I don't know if you want to chat about that a bit or less, if either of you are on the call. You want to kind of do a shout-out for that work as something that we focus on for next steps as well.
Drummond. We certainly welcome the input. We're just finishing the first of four milestones in the contract that we're the SBIR contract that we're carrying out for DHS on researching DIDs and how best to implement them, the format for DID identifiers and DID objects. If there's anyone in the group that has strong feelings about any of those, besides Manu and Dave, who we've already interviewed extensively, we welcome, please let us know, because we'd like to interview you, get your input, and ultimately we want a recommendation to come out of that hopefully then can move to become a spec in the appropriate body.
Awesome. Thank you, Drummond. As far as the verifiable claims work is concerned, let's kind of come up with kind of a rough idea of what we're working on next. A number of us are on the road traveling for the next 2 weeks, so the MIT blockchain workshop, the web payments interest group meeting. So we're probably going to end up canceling meetings for the next 2 weeks. So we'll have 2 weeks to kind of think about what the next steps should be. I think having a face-to-face agenda, no matter what happens, would be a good thing for us to work on. This thing's been going on for 2 years. We still haven't all of us met face-to-face yet, and TPAC's a good opportunity to do that and for people to see kind of how W3C works. So that face-to-face agenda might be something good to work on. And then, you know, the rest of the stuff that was discussed, you know, honestly, the way this stuff happens is people kind of step up and do the work. If you don't step up and do the work, it doesn't get done. So I kind of leave it to the people that propose the work to figure out ways to, you know, get this group more engaged and interested in getting that stuff done. I know we're going to be, you know, working on the Flex Ledger stuff. I know Drummond and them are really focused on the DID stuff. And between those two, I would say the DID stuff is more central to this group, right? We have these identifiers in our specs that start with DID colon, and we have no mechanism yet, no finalized mechanism yet to allocate those things in a self-sovereign way. So just looking at priorities, I feel like kind of the DID stuff is really, you know, after the face-to-face thing, seems like it would be high priority for this group based on, you know, the work we've been doing over the last 2 years. Any other thoughts, comments, or concerns about next steps?
I just want to make sure people knew about the rebooting Web of Trust in late September. It's the week after TPAC.
Yes. Yeah, and the rebooting Web of Trust is where we kind of picked up Dave Crocker and Joe Andrew and a lot of the, Drummond and his team. It's a really great event to kind of work for kind of sitting down and working through these issues. So I suggest if you're on, you know, on the West Coast or if you haven't been to one of those events, it's a good event to go to. Okay. If there's nothing else, we're going to end the call, and we're going to be on a brief hiatus for the next 2 weeks while everyone jumps on airplanes and flies all around. And we'll meet again probably during the second week of July. Awesome.
That's great. Thanks,
Luna. Take care. Bye.
Good day. Bye-bye.